We start a new Sunday school class this morning. So I'm handing out, actually, Troy's going to hand out an introduction sheet. You may recall, we're going to be studying through this book, Organic Outreach for Churches, Infusing Evangelistic Passion in Your Local Congregation. I've got one more book available, but some of you have it. Most of you probably don't. I encourage you to order it. It's a it's kind of a workbook. You know, you learn a lot when you go through it, but there's exercises in it as well. As you'll see, we'll talk about how it's all organized and kind of the structure of this class as we go forward. And what I've handed out so far is just the introduction. So, we'll see how you do today in class, but if you do well and you want this book, then I'll award it to you. How's that? So you got to pay attention, you got to answer questions well, raise your hand, speak up. What's that?
Gracious, that's kind of workspace.
It is kind of, it is. But I won't charge you for it. How's that?
All right.
So, no charge. Just got to... It's based on your performance, that's all.
It's grace plus.
Okay, so let's a show of hands, how many people do have the book? In all seriousness, so only 4 or 5 people have it. Okay, so not a requirement that you have it, but I would encourage you to get it. There's also on your, at the top of your introduction, I believe, yes, is there a website? Yes. Organic Outreach International is the name of the ministry that does this book. So let's talk a little bit about, before we even get into the introduction, Organic Outreach. How many people remember the EE movement? Does anybody even know what that stands for? I can't hear you.
Explosion.
Evangelism Explosion, right? EE, right? So now we've got the OO. Organic Outreach. And, you know, I think more than anything else, we'll talk about why it's named this and what the focus is. It really is kind of a catchy way to organize this body of work that this ministry has put together. When I've read through it, I've been through their website, not exhaustively, but pretty well. So I want to get all of the... And I want to be careful with this, but all of the caveats out of the way. All right, so let's talk about this. I don't want to turn you off by any means, because I think this is a great book. But I'm not saying that it's a 100% this is the model for the OPC. I think it's a, I'll say it again, I think it's a great book. But there are some areas that I think that we would differ in our perspective on things, doctrinal, theological. That's okay. When I come to those, I'm going to do my best to just to point them out, say, okay, so he says this, and I would add or change it this way. And you can agree with me or disagree with me at that point, however you want to do it. But, I mean, there's always a risk when you take a book that's written for the more broadly evangelical church and try to apply it to a Reformed congregation, right? Well, the good thing about this book is it really is not a formula. He does a great job of putting things into an outline. So, as a matter of fact, when we look at the introduction, who is Kevin G. Harney, the author of the book, and what went into writing the book? He's a pastor for a church in Monterey, California. Fuller Seminary graduate. Azusa Pacific graduate. And before he wrote this book, he spent 10 years studying outreach, lecturing on it, writing papers. You know, it was his passion. Evangelism in the evangelical church. And... he went to a conference, it's a Billy Graham Center for Evangelism, and spoke there, and everybody loved it. And they said, hey, we think you should write a book. And he said, I'm not ready to write a book, but I'll talk about it, but I'm not ready to write a book. So he went into a process of, he spent 2 years leading the outreach in two congregations and mentoring and observing 9 other congregations in this 2-year period to document ideas, things that worked, things that didn't work. And they were a spectrum of churches, from Reformed churches to broadly evangelical churches. And he took that information and put it into not only this book, this is one of 3 books. So this is Organic Outreach for Churches, there's Organic Outreach for Ordinary People, and there's Organic Outreach for Families. And there's organic outreach material all over the place on that website. You can see, in fact, they say there's a 3-year curriculum there that's there for free. Some of this, you know, when you look at this, this is organic outreach for churches. Well, why didn't we pick the organic outreach for individuals, Mike? Why didn't we do that? Well, I think, you know, the way I look at this is we're a congregation. What is a church? I mean, we could describe what is a church, but evangelism, outreach, ultimately needs to come from the church, because the goal of this is to draw people into the church, into the presence and worship of the living God. And yes, there's probably good ways to equip individuals. There's good ways to equip families to do that. A lot of evangelism should occur in the family. But I wanted to focus this on the church, which puts me as one of the church leaders in a little bit of a vulnerable position, because there's going to be ideas in here that come up that you're going to say, why are you asking us, Mike? Look in the mirror. What are the elders doing about this? But I really want this to come from you all. I mean, I think it would be good if this desire, the fervor, even, you know, if you were pushing the elders and the deacons in a certain way, I think that would be a great thing. I really do. The session is already committed. You know, we've been reading this book, and the deacons as well, for quite a while. We're already committed to focusing more and emphasizing more on outreach, hence the last Sunday school series on the Great Commission and the pastor's sermon series on hospitality. And there's more to follow. So this kind of is in line with that. But it's something that I really want you to be open and honest about, because there are some things in here, you read it and you just kind of go, oh, no way. I guess that is me. I guess that's where we are. What do we do about it? You know, and do we overreact and do we just start working, or do we, I think, which is what this book is good for, do we organize ourselves? Do we evaluate where we are, what our gifts are, what our strengths and weaknesses are, and kind of mobilize ourselves in a way that really is sustainable, and as he says, organic, meaning driven from within, outreach. So he would say, and he says it in here, this book is not perfected, but it's field tested, which I think is pretty good. It's not a manual, but it's an aid or a help. So why this book? And I've talked a little bit about it, but ultimately on page 16, he says that this book is to help harvest, find organic ways to connect with our community, share Jesus' message, and point people to the Savior of the world. And we'll talk about how he recommends that you organize to go about doing that. So what does organic outreach mean? What do you think when you see this word, organic outreach, and maybe even folks that have read the book, what does that mean, you think? We're just going to, yes. Okay, I think that's really good. Friendship evangelism? Mm-hmm. Anybody else? I know you have thoughts. I know you, because I don't know if you know this, but I see these balloons over your head. Some of you are too far away. I can't read what's in them, but I see them. So, yes, Cindy. Okay, very good. Not by committee. So yeah, you can describe it by what it's not. So yeah, what Jerry? What were you gonna say?
I don't know. Maybe organic. Reach out from people you work with, and they come to know you, and they want to come to church because they. They feel like you walk in the Lord, and maybe they want to come too.
Okay.
Am I really off base?
No, I don't think you're off base at all. That's good. Very good. Jeff.
Nothing added or extra. No worldly fillers. The pure, unadulterated stuff.
Sounds heavenly.
Hence the word organic.
Okay. Oh. I don't know. Organic doesn't rub me that way. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. I missed your first part of the preamble, but just the organic thing means outreach as a matter of course.
Okay. That's good.
Which, that mm-hmm. begs the question, what is the course? And then turns back to us still.
All right. Okay. I saw another hand over here, Troy.
That it's located, I mean, as far as organic outreach for the church, that it is something that takes place within the church where we, instead of saying how having so many parachurch organizations that are doing the job of the church should be.
And that's a very good point. A lot of these outreach books are focused on parachurch movements. In fact, I would say most of the energy that's going into outreach and developing outreach right now, evangelism, comes outside of the church, right? So that's one of the things that I appreciate about this book is it doesn't do that. It's saying it comes from within your church, and that's where they go to. They go to the churches, and they work with churches and work with who those churches are. They don't try to change those churches necessarily other than the area of reaching out and drawing people in. So, okay, yes. Elizabeth, yes.
Well, when I look at the word organic, it sounds like it's they're trying to make it seem like, well, not make it seem like, but letting it happen naturally and, like, I mean, I was part of, like, a more, like, evangelical, like, church group in community college, and we would always, like, almost have, like, a quota, like, as far as outreach went, and, like, that's not how it should happen.
Okay.
It's just the Lord using you to, like, save somebody, basically, so it should happen that
more naturally. Okay. That's a very good point. That is. Anybody else before I kind of list off the... I'll give you the definition. So, organic outreach on page 16. When the evangelistic vision and action become the domain of every ministry in a church and the commitment of every member of the congregation. So it's not so... kind of what I've heard, it's not the work of a committee. So I've got a list, you know, what it is, what it is not. It's not the work of a committee. It's a commitment to fulfill the Great Commission. So that's one of the reasons that we studied that was what is the Great Commission and, you know, what is our role and responsibility in that. It's not an add-on or a separate ministry or a program. You know, it's not, hey, let's set up this evangelistic program. It's a part of the heart and culture of the church, which is something that we're going to be talking about and trying to evaluate. These, you know, for us long-term reformed guys, heart and culture are not... I'm looking in the black book, and I don't see that anywhere. It's not in the Westminster Confession. But this is something that it helps us to really evaluate ourselves. A natural and integrated part of the whole life of the church. I think that is probably the best, you know, short definition of organic outreach. It's the natural and integrated part of the whole life of the church. So, how's this book outlined? Well, there's four parts. He addresses the heart of the congregation, the mind of the congregation, the hands of the congregation, and the mouth of the congregation. So you can kind of see he's saying, you know, first, where are we in our hearts? Where, you know, what do we desire? What's our passion? And then the mind of the congregation, what are we thinking about when it comes to evangelism? The hands of the congregation, okay, so now what are some things that we can start doing? And then the mouth, what should we be saying? What are our messages? What's a good way to speak the gospel to others around us? And each chapter, the content is broken into, basically there's a text of propositions, evaluations, statements, examples, lessons learned. And at the end of each chapter, there's three parts. You'll see it's preparing the soil, and for that, it's self-evaluation questions, scattering the seed, some homework assignments, and watering with prayer, some ideas for praying for outreach. So, in that vein, there is kind of homework that we could be doing, especially the last part, praying for ideas for praying for outreach. I think some of these ideas are excellent. And if we really want to, and I guess that's an assumption that I'm making standing up here, is that we want to improve our outreach at Harvest, that we want to see not only this church full, but maybe other churches that we could be influencing or planting ourselves in North County. If we want to see people coming to the Lord beyond our nice little group, we need to be praying about it. And that's where I think it starts, is with prayer. So, any questions before we get started on chapter one? Any concerns? Anybody want to say, before you get started, I think... No? Yes.
I got a question.
Sure.
It's addressed somewhere in the book. As think of evangelists like Billy Graham.
Yes.
Right, in the Reformed world, some people have some criticisms of him, but probably also would agree that he had a gift and a calling for evangelism.
Right.
And it does talk about some people having the gift of evangelism in Scripture.
Right.
So I wonder, what's the difference between that kind of calling and what you're talking about?
I think they're very interrelated. I really do. I think what we're trying to determine as a church is how we can use whatever gifts God has given us to evangelize in whatever way that we can. So, yeah, we're not all Billy Grahams by any... I'm not saying that at all, and I don't think he's saying that either. In fact, I think we'll see that he's going to say you should identify those people that have these gifts from God and employ them in deploy them in a certain way. You know, are you supporting them? You know, are you encouraging them to use those gifts? Or are they just gifts that you know about and you just don't know how to use? You know, don't know how to cultivate and use as well. But I mean, a lot of this I would say is much lower level, you know. That's why one of his books is Organic Outreach for Ordinary People, which I think we all are ordinary people. That's where we start anyway. And how can each one of us, the most ordinary one of us, use our gifts, whatever they may be, prayer, time, talent, treasure, to improve in the whole church's mission of evangelizing the lost. So, I hope that answers your question. Were you going to say something? Yes.
Well, I think you're being solemn-minded about it would be different than an evangelist. You know what I'm saying?
Than an evangelist, but it is still evangelism.
It is.
Yes.
And with whatever we have, we all fall into that group of being solemn-minded.
Yes.
So.
Right. And you gave me this book. If you want to see another perspective on evangelism, Puritan evangelism, it's actually pretty good. It's nice and short, but it talks. So, and Joel Beakey, outstanding author. So, I think this is, you know, if I were to say anything, I'd kind of take this book and I'd like put it right in the middle of this book and say, there we go. This is a great combination because this talks about solid preaching, solid teaching, you know, all the catechetical evangelism in the home. This doesn't really get into a lot of those details like that, but this does, and I think it's something that we would, in the OPC, be much more comfortable with, be much more drawn toward. This is taking us out of our comfort zone. Yes. Well, they're, yeah. They're economist with their words. Right, no fluff. That's back to your idea. So this is, Jeff, this is your idea of evangelism, right? The pure, no fluff, right? Okay, there we go. Yeah. Okay, so does everybody have a handout? Oh, yeah, if you could take it and make a copy. So, all right, we're going to get into some self-evaluation things now for the congregation. And you'll see at the top of page 1, describe the heart of Harvest OPC. And let me give you some, maybe some preparatory questions here. He's at this conference where he was asked to write a book, and they're saying, hey, tell us more about how we can improve our evangelism at our church. And he said, okay, so I've got 3 questions for you. First one, if you stopped doing Sunday worship and you had no music, no sermon, no corporate worship experience, how long would it be before people noticed and declared someone's not doing their job? A week? 1 week. Right? That's what they said. Oh, yeah, 1 week. I said, okay. If you stop doing discipleship and spiritual growth, you'd stop doing Sunday school and youth programs and Bible studies, how long would it be before somebody would say something? Well, I mean, we've skipped Sunday school here before. We've had programs. What's that? Yeah, but you don't say, somebody's not doing their job, right? But it was 2 to 4 weeks was kind of the range, you know. Pretty soon you go, hey, Sunday school, my kids don't have anything to do, you know. And then the last one, if you did not do intentional evangelism, you didn't mobilize and equip your people to share their faith on a regular basis, how long would it be before your church noticed and complained? The answer was 10 years and counting. So, I mean, that's, I think those are good questions. So, so how would you describe the heart of Harvest OPC? And here's how I would say the things that we would consider. What things are most important to us? What are our consistent practices? Where do we focus our time, talent, and treasure? And this isn't, you know, I think when you come up with a list of things that our focus, you know, you describe our heart, I think you'll see a lot of very biblical, very good, very... So, anybody want to take a shot at describing the heart of Harvest OPC? What's that? Yeah, and that's why I have it in quotes, heart, the heart, and described it with other descriptors, right? So, Katie, thank you for being the brave first person to answer a tough question. Yeah.
But I would say probably worship and fellowship.
Okay, so we... focus on worship and fellowship. Okay, Cindy?
Primarily has to be the preaching of the word, God's word. So where is that different than what you're asking for?
No, no, I think that's absolutely...
That has to be number one. I'm sure everyone would answer that.
Okay, which would be included in what Katie said, right? She said worship, which includes... I mean, if you were kind of unpack that a little bit, you'd say the preaching of God's word, right? Preaching, yes.
Administering the sacraments.
Administering the sacraments.
And also caring for, educating, protecting the flock.
Okay, did everybody hear that? Caring for, educating, and protecting the flock. All right. Okay, Jerry.
Prayer.
Okay. What else?
I'm thinking we're very, from a congregation perspective, I think we're close-knit or knit group of people. I think we're very comfortable with each other as a congregation.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's good or bad.
That's a good point. It can be both, right?
Yeah.
How do you think we, what lends this congregation to that? Or, yeah, what? Why do you think that's the case? Because to me, that's more of an outcome. What goes into creating that kind of close-knittedness?
Yeah. You think? I think it just has to do with what we were saying. You know, we know each other, we're very protective of the flock. We're very comfortable with each other. We take care of each other like someone's sick, you know, prepare meals, etc. But I'm thinking perhaps from an evangelistic perspective, we need to be more outside the bubble type of thing, type of people, I think.
Okay.
So from our heart is with us, with our people, with our community. And I think our heart needs to be a little more comfortable with the outside bubble people.
Okay. Does everybody hear Edgar? Can you hear him? Because I think he's making some excellent points. Yes, James. And then, Mark, I'll get you a second. Go ahead.
A concern and love for one another that stems from that.
Okay.
And then the next question is, is that equal to those outside of the church? And with myself, I know I don't spend as much time thinking about it. If I hear of something, I might say, oh, well, that sucks. You know? But, you know, when it's someone that you may reach out, and whether it's like, well, you only have so much time in the day, so every time you hear a concern, you can't meet it.
And yeah.
Every concern that you hear, so it's almost like I'm selective with it about where I do my, how I demonstrate my concern and work on behalf of others.
Yeah. Right.
Personally.
I think if we're...
So I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well, I think it's just... honest, an honest reality, but And I don't want you all to think that we have to immediately jump to we're weak in evangelism. That's our heart. And I'm not saying that. I mean, I think we really need what you'll see that the author here, his proposition, you can read it. If a congregation is gripped by God's love, lavishes its love on him, which, by the way, I added that there, lavishes its love on him, each other, and the community, his people will be drawn to that church. So the two things that I added to this, lavishes its love on him. So the author said if they lavish his love on each other and the community, then people will be drawn to him. And I modified that a little bit. And I said if they lavish its love, the congregation's love, on him. Right? I mean, God lavishes his love on us. The very first place we should respond to is with him. Right? So I think that gets to worship, the word, sacrament, and so on. That should be at the core of the heart of this congregation is, do we love the Lord? Do we demonstrate that we love him and talk about that love that he has for us and we have for him? And then does that overflow to one another? You know, and James, you're talking about some of the real limitations that we have. You can't, it overflows selectively maybe in some cases, just depending upon your proximity and gifts and availability. But, and then the community. So I think, and what Edgar is saying, we have a whole lot of love in this congregation, but I don't think that it's spilling out of the congregation so much into the community. That's why I think we're doing this. So, and this is a way for us, you know, if we at least acknowledge that. And I can't call on you because I promised Mark I'd call on him first. So, but so yes, Mark.
I think being here at Harvest for, you know, maybe under 3 or 4 months now, I can't really speak to, you know, the overall outreach of the church that I've been here to experience it.
Uh-huh.
As somebody who's, you know, within the last few months witnessed it firsthand, I do think that the love that Edgar and Jane talked about, I think this church does an incredible job welcoming in individuals that, you know, I think my wife and my sister, we're all introverts. Like, we don't really, you know, push outside of our limits. I think almost every single person I've had a conversation with or has come up to me to the point where it's kind of hard to remember what I'm saying. That's a great thing. That's, you know, might not be pushing outside the walls of the church as much as it needs to, but for those that take the step to come into the church, that's something that's drawn us in from the get-go.
That's good to hear, because that was going to be on the the next questions, which we'll get to. But Troy,
you hit on a part of it immediately. I was definitely hit with a lot of hospitality, and that was great. So I think outreach has always been a big concern of this church. There's been a lot of efforts, whether hitting neighborhoods locally, the outreach to the campus ministry, Pastor Schroeder's regular exhortations to sharing our faith with new application of sermons. So I think it's always been there, whether, you know, it sounds like now we're trying to think more how it can become a regular integral part of the church instead of kind of a spotty.
Right. Absolutely. That's the goal of this exercise. Yeah. So, and I appreciate what Mark said, and I don't know if there's anybody else that's willing to share. Why did you come to Harvest? You know, why would God bring people to Harvest? What is it about Harvest? You know, why did you come and stay? Why would people not maybe stay that have come? What are some thoughts on that? when you think about your own experience? Katie?
Our experience was a lot like Mark's. We came because at the time, Russian folk was becoming Israelite. We see that in the community. And the reform that they actually came because it was great for them to centralize and join. But we were like, I wouldn't say accosted, but it was pretty close. got invited to a birthday party that week and didn't sit to lunch. Now, it did help that we could go with Dr. Jesse and Michelle. But it was just immediately friendly and welcoming.
Right. Okay.
There's some people that almost seem like the hospitality committee, even though they're not such a thing. Mm-hmm. It's just their natural inclination and their God gift.
Okay.
Of course, the word of God being preached faithfully and the Reformed theology is what that was like.
Okay. Yes, Rick.
All of those. I was going to say hospitality was where he said everything. But I think one of the things for us is different conversations with different people that we've had when we were coming on Sunday nights and then on our first ones that were actual spiritual conversations that people were sharing how they felt about God versus doctrine or, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
They have some very sound teaching, they have this, they have that, but is it, do they love God?
Right.
You know, and are they doing what they're doing? Are they being hospitable out of their love for God? And so we were just discussing, or she was asking, how do we really kind of come up with harvest? And so those were some of the more inviting talent, but I don't think that it's just, this is true doctrine that we're right, but that this is the truth and we love God and we live that out. So I think that is, and for somebody, to bring somebody that you want hospital, you know, they feel welcome, but also that they see other people that genuinely love God.
And I think that's a great segue. Thank you, Rick, for this next question, because it gets to the focus of the first chapter, and that is, does Harvest's heart beat with the love and compassion of the living God? You know, is that what motivates us? So, you know, we're building a foundation on which to ultimately talk about spilling that love over, you know, to one another and to our community. But it really can't be done genuinely, effectively, if it's not based on an understanding of the love of God. Right? Yes.
Just thinking about that, and sometimes when the Lord brings trial in your life is when you realize how much you need the body of Christ and how much it means to me, and that love is, you need it,
yeah.
And then
right.
Well, I mean, that's a blessing for trials in your life.
Right. And, you know, any time that you're expressing that kind of love for other people, you know, that can have an evangelistic and an outreach aspect to it as well. I think, you know, this love for God, when you think about it, God looks on the heart of man. He knows our heart. I go back to, you know, Troy. He gets the book because he answered the question. Even though, you know, it was a little tongue-in-cheek, but he answered it right. You know, our hearts are wicked, you know, and deceptive. That's why we need each other to kind of, you know, you may think your heart's okay, but what I'm hearing doesn't sound like it's the right thing. And you know, encouraging one another by where God has worked in our hearts and there is this genuine love, you can see it. You can see it, you know, up close and personal. Just in interacting and seeing the words, the deeds, everything that we can see when we observe one another. A deep love for God is a strong heartbeat. So I would hope that the reason, and kind of what Rick was saying, that the reason that anybody wants to come to Harvest and anybody wants to stay at Harvest is that they see a love for God in this place, in the people, in the worship, in everything that we do. There's a love for God, setting aside of our love for ourself, which is natural, and demonstrating a love for God in a lot of different ways that we'll talk about. And I also believe that that point should be the foundation for any strategic planning or initiatives or anything. Is what we're doing, is it demonstrating a love for God? Is that love demonstrable in the way we love one another and the way we love the world? Now, you'll see that phrase, love the world. What are we told by Scripture? Right. So we have to be careful. We're not talking about loving the world in that way. We're talking about loving the people that are outside of Christ, not loving the influences and the trappings and so on of the world. We're talking about loving the people outside of Christ. So I think that that should be the basis of anything that we do as a church in evaluating, you know, what programs should we initiate, or what programs should we expand, or maybe what programs should we shut down, and so on. Those kind of strategic plans. Yes, Katie.
Video that I was thinking about how Pastor Twitter today in his sermon was kind of confessing that he doesn't always think of, you know, people as, you know, Nineveh or whatever, you know, the prodigal son when he's interacting with them in the world. And I think as individuals, that's really important, you know, that we put on Christ everywhere we go, you know, not just for church spaces and not just for when people know we're Christian. We know we're Christians by our love, you know.
Right. Right. And to me, see, I think that's the best way to define organic. It's something, and Elizabeth said this, it's much more natural, but it's not just a natural thing that you conjure up. It's natural based upon your deep understanding of the love of God for you and your family and your congregation, and how you respond to that is, you know, the deeper your understanding of that is, the more natural it is for that to overflow in loving somebody else that is outside. And, you know, if anybody here thinks that they've got that down, I'll let you pick a chapter to teach, because it's very convicting. I mean, to stand up and say, hey, this is what we need to work on. You know, I spend 5 days going, oh man, I am nowhere near this. I can't. It's hard to stand up and say, this is what we need to be doing as a congregation, because it starts with me. I mean, it's what I need to be doing. So I hope that you all take that on and personalize this study as we go through. So we'll pick up there next week. You'll see. There's three common heart conditions that appear to be pretty self-explanatory. And then we get into developing a growing love for God and ideas for improving upon whatever love that we have for God even now. So, okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've drawn us together, that you've knitted us together as a body, that we are built on the foundation, the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, and that he is the head of the church. We just pray, Lord, that you would draw us into a deeper understanding, deeper relationship through your word, through prayer, through sacraments, Lord, all the means of grace, to see your love for us, just how deep it is, and that we would, again, by your grace, be encouraged and empowered by the work of your Spirit to show that love for one another and for the world, the lost around us. We thank you for for this whole day, Lord, and for the opportunity to worship you here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.